Hello and welcome to episode 42 of Near Death Dolls. I'm Paige.
And I'm Lisa.
And we are your hosties with the mosties.
Wow, talking about ghosties.
And other dehydrated shit.
Well, that'll be us in an hour after these drinks, Paige.
I'm ready.
So Paige is going to be telling us the tale of Raffi Kodikian and a camping trip gone terribly wrong. But first, Paige, what's getting you dehydrated tonight?
Something very tasty that I've talked about a few times already. It is my lovely Roscato. I'm almost done with the bottle.
You are like nursing this bottle. I mean, good for you.
I know, right? I mean, it's really tasty, but it is on the sweet side. So if I have like two glasses of it, I feel it, you know, the next day, get that wine headache. So I try to cut back on it, but it's very tasty. Nice. But yeah, that's my dehydration juice tonight. What about you, Lisa?
Well, I took an allergy pill, so I'm not drinking at this moment, but I did with my dinner have a lovely red wine.
Ooh.
And it is a Cabernet Sauvignon called Lost Maples.
Ooh, okay.
And Lost Maples is a Texas natural state area. I don't think it's considered a state park, but it's a natural state area.
Ooh,
and
okay.
I've actually been there years and years ago. It's kind of in the Texas Hill Country. And I'm actually planning a fall hike there later this year. So, and camping trip. And I know that we're about to talk about a camping trip. So it kind of all ties in magically, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. Yeah. And I know your hiking and camping trip is going to go so much better than Raffi Kodikian's did.
I certainly hope so. I don't know what went wrong yet because I've never heard of this person. But if we're talking about him, it can't be good.
Yeah, you'll see.
All right. Well, I'm super ready. Let's hear about this Raffi Kodikian fella.
Yeah, it's okay. A fella. It's a fella. Okay. Yeah, let's hear about him. Him and his friend, they went camping and they were stupid about it. And I know you're not stupid about it. You're doing a lot of research, so you're going to be just fine.
I do like to over-prepare.
Good. but yeah, I'm glad you're having... So what, it was a Cab Sav?
Yes, it was a delicious Cab Sav. Only like $7 at my grocery store.
That's a good price. I like that price.
Oh yeah, and they actually, my grocery store have a sign that hangs above the wines that says affordable finds. And I'm like, thank you. I'm so glad that you made this very easy for me to find.
Don't even have to think. You're like, ooh, here's the section for me.
Everything there is like under $10. And I'm like, yes, these are my people. I love my grocery store.
Yeah, you should just put your name up there.
Right.
What's your grocery store of choice?
We like the HEB stores here in Texas, and they might be in some other states too, probably southern states, but they have lots of good like store brand things. So and Texans freaking love HEB. Like, ask a Texan. We have Buc-ee's for our gas station, and we have HEB for our grocery store.
I miss both of those places very much. I even have a Buc-ee's t-shirt that I wear to bed sometimes. It's a great gas station if no one's been there.
Very clean, has anything and everything you could possibly want.
Their bathrooms are like palaces.
They're immaculate. Someone will wipe your ass for you if you ask them to.
Give a little extra, you know, the tip. All right, guys, let's get started today. Whew, Raffi Kodikian, this is a kind of a nuts case. And by the end of it, I'll want to know your guys' theories, especially you, Lisa.
Okay.
On whether or not you think Mr. Raffi Kodikian is being honest about what happened.
Okay. All right. You know what? I have a bullshit-o-meter.
Okay, good. Good. And we'll see if it goes ding, 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 ding.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to know because I want to believe him. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what you think.
Okay.
So let's go camping. You got your sleeping bag. You got your water, maybe some Gatorade, hot dogs, a map that we can't read. And we're ready to go, right?
Yes. Yeah, I got all that stuff.
Okay, good. We're ready to go. And where we're going to head to in New Mexico, Rattlesnake Canyon.
Ooh, sounds scary.
Yeah, I know, right? Rattlesnake Canyon. This is in Carlsbad Canyon National Park. Carlsbad Caves? Caverns. Carlsbad Caverns National Park in New Mexico.
That sounds familiar, yes.
Have you been there before?
No, I've just heard of it.
Okay. I've been there a few times with my family on, we'll just pass through on road trips. If we're passing through New Mexico, we'll go to Carlsbad Caverns, but we've never spent the night. We would just go for like a day to go through the cavern.
Oh, cool.
Oh, it's so cool. If you get a chance, it's not like a hiking thing. You're literally just taking a tour down in the caves. But it's beautiful and so cool.
I've done a few of those tours, different places, but yeah.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Any of note? Because I'd like to do more.
I've done Natural Bridge Caverns. I've done some, I don't remember what they were called because I was a kid.
Oh, sure. sure.
But some very, and I think we went to Ruby Falls, which is like a cave waterfall inside. It's really a trickle at this point, but.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I said, I've only been to Carlsbad Caverns. I didn't go through the Rattlesnake Canyon, but that's where Rafi Kodikian and his friend David Coughlin are headed to go camping and hiking.
Oh, buddy, buddy.
Buddy, buddy. That's right. Now, this is a strange case of two people getting extremely dehydrated and desperation getting the better of them.
I kind of want to think that there's going to be some blood drinking at some point. Am I on track at all?
You're close. You're pretty close. Yes.
Okay.
Things are going to get a little nuts for these two. Okay. Now, they're going to convince themselves and each other that there's no way out.
Uh-oh. I feel like this is a Silent Twins kind of thing.
It is. It is a little bit like that. I didn't mean to make it similar to that, but it is a similar kind of situation. Like, there will be someone dead by the end of the episode.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be near Death Dolls if there weren't someone dead at the end, right?
Right? I gotta do it. So, let's see. Maybe it might be a little bit more malicious than dehydration, but we'll see.
Okay.
Rafi and his friend David were on a road trip to California from Boston in 1999.
We're gonna travel like it's 1999. Do, dun, do, dun, dun, do. Dun, dun, dun. There you go.
Great song. Did you sing that song a lot in 1999? Because I did.
I don't even think I knew it in 1999.
What? Come on. I know. It's Prince.
Wasted opportunity. What was I listening to? Backstreet Boys.
Nice.
And Britney Spears. Nice.
I didn't get into them until later, but yeah. So Carlsbad Caverns, they stopped off on the way because they wanted to do some camping and hiking. And the reason they were going to California, they had both just graduated from college. Rafi wanted to be a journalist. David Coughlin had graduated. He wanted to be a traffic analyst. I've never heard of that before, but that's what he wanted to be.
Isn't that like what they do for on the news? Like the traffic person is a traffic analyst, maybe? I don't know.
That's the only thing I can think of, too. I don't know. I was like, okay, whatever, David.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something else that goes into, like, I don't know, city planning, and they need a traffic, what was it? Analyst.
Yeah, yes. And he's actually on his way. David is going from Boston to California to get a master's degree as a traffic analyst.
Cool.
His aspirations are high. So his buddy Rafi was like, well, let's do a road trip. I'll send you off, you know, and then Rafi was going to go back to Boston afterwards. So like I said, they stopped off at Carlsbad National Park. They were smart kids because they just graduated. You know, they both had good careers ahead of them, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And they thought, we can do this. If anybody can figure out how to go hiking and go camping, it's us.
Okay.
But do you remember what I said before about how they brought a little bit of water, a little bit of Gatorade? Mm-hmm. They brought hot dogs with them and a map that they didn't know how to read.
I do remember.
So they're like book smart, not necessarily street, quote unquote, street smart.
Camp smart. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're not camp smart. Let's just say that. And there wasn't Google back then. So I don't know if they didn't feel like doing a lot of research ahead of time. But they showed up at the National Park Service before they went down in to hike Rattlesnake Canyon. They stopped off to buy the topographical map that they couldn't read.
Okay.
And they figured, we can figure this out on the way.
See, I feel like that's what I'm going to do. I've yet to do a hike that requires a map. So, I'm kind of, I feel for them. I'm on their level.
Right? Yeah. I've never done a hike that requires a map either. It's usually just follow the trail and don't go off the trail.
Exactly.
Yeah. But at the same time, where they're going, there are trails. Mm-hmm. So, following the trail should have been a lot easier for them. But we'll see. We'll see. So what they did was, like I said, they stopped off. They bought supplies. They brought 3 pints of water for one night. They were going to stay over one night and leave the next morning. So that might have been okay, 3 pints of water if they rationed it. But they probably just should have brought more anyway.
Yeah.
1 pint of Gatorade, because, you know, you need your electrolytes.
Shit, yeah, you do.
And water sucks.
It really, really sucks.
There it is. Got to get that water boy reference in. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the topographical map that neither of them could read. And, you know, I've known a lot of quote unquote intellectuals in my time, and they are totally like this. They get to that point where they think they're so smart that they turn out to be dumb. That's kind of what we got here. Now, August 4th, 1999, that's the day they get there. That's when they're going to go down into the canyon. They're going to have one night adventure. And on their way down into the canyon, everything was hunky-dory. They were having a good time. They found a good spot to settle for the night. And for dinner, they ate their hot dogs that they brought with them.
Cool. Gross, but cool.
What do we know about hot dogs? You can eat them raw. You can cook them over a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a versatile meal.
Yeah, a little weenie roast.
Right? I mean, that's kind of the fun of bringing hot dogs on a camping trip.
Sure.
But these boys used one of their pints of water to boil.
No.
Yes. They boiled their hot dogs in the last of their water. But after that, they didn't have any more water.
No. Whoa.
You can already see where this is going.
Yes, I can. And I already feel 10 times smarter. I'm like, no.
Yes. See? No. See, that's why I was like, I'm not worried about Lisa. This isn't one of those stories that's, you know, a horror story of don't go camping. This is just don't follow in their footsteps.
Okay.
So you can eat them raw, but they decided to waste some of their water to boil these hot dogs.
Sure. I hope. Well, did they drink the hot dog water afterwards? But
they probably threw it out. They probably just like, whoops. I'm sure. We'll see. They'll probably regret that. But I imagine that they had a fun night. They probably had some beers, I assume, discussing their futures, discussing college, maybe reminiscing on good times, eating hot dogs, sleeping out under the stars, you know? And Lisa, you're about to start doing that. It sounds like a good night.
Yeah, sounds great.
But the next morning, they're like, okay, now it's time to go. We got to get back on the road. They try to find the same trail that they took down into the canyon.
Okay.
However, for some reason, whatever path it was that they took down to get into the canyon, they couldn't find it again to get back out.
Okay, I mean, it happens. I'm just wondering how far off trail they went.
It's a great question. I'm a little confused about this as well. Like how, because there's markers. In these national parks, they put trail markers so that, you know, you don't, because it could be really hard. I've definitely gone camping in places where there's no trail markers. And if you're not looking at the exact right angle, you might not even see the trail.
Sure.
But they searched, they started climbing out, trying to see if they could see any trail markers. They didn't see anything. No luck. So by the end of that day, they didn't have any water. They used the last of their water on hot dogs 24 hours before. They're trying to hike out and find this trail that they can't find all day. And they don't have cell phones. They don't have, you know, they don't have like a, I have a friend who goes backpacking a lot and canyoneering. He has like a little thing. It's an emergency button. So it's not a cell phone. You don't necessarily need a really good signal for it. But if you press it, it calls whoever, like you set it up to call somebody and say, I need rescuing if something really bad happens, say like you get lost like this or break a leg or something like that. They didn't have any of that. So they're literally stuck in Rattlesnake Canyon. They can't find a way to get out. They don't have any Gatorade, any water, and now they don't even have any food either.
Oh gosh, keep telling the story.
So by this time, you can bet that they're already getting dehydrated because it doesn't take very long.
No, and if they're in New Mexico, In August?
In August.
I would think it's pretty hot, because I know here in Texas, August is like the worst month.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's when the heat really packs it in, and it's mm-hmm. desert for yeah. the most part. So let me see. New Mexico, August forecast. Says it gets up to 88 degrees and in a dry heat. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you don't have any water.
Yeah, that's rough.
Could be really bad. So it's not good for anybody. Rafi mentions that they started to think they were a little foggy in their heads because of the dehydration.
That will happen, definitely.
Yeah, I imagine that in this situation, them being desperate that they can't find the trail leads to even more dehydration, which mm-hmm. leads to their brain getting more foggy. And I think it's probably just a cycle of just bad luck. Like, they can't find this trail. And so, you know, it's all compounding on itself.
Right. And that does not help when you're already foggy brained.
No. Yeah. Yeah. All of those smarts that they were hoping to count on they're gone out the window, I'm sure, at this point. This is caveman brain territory.
They got the brain scramblies.
The brain scramblies. So, like, that's what I imagine, is that it's hard to find the path. The more desperate you are, the more dehydrated, the more foggy-brained you are, the less likely you are to be able to find that path. Mm-hmm. That's the only explanation I have for why they spent 4 days, agonizing 4 days, over where this path was and why they just kept giving up and camping for the night.
Yeah, that seems a little bizarre. Like, I would think after 4 days you'd be able to, and I guess I don't know what it was like in the 90s or early 2000s, but usually you sign something or you check in with like a ranger station before you go in. And yeah. they usually will go looking for you, if I'm not mistaken. If they're like, well, they've been out there for a while, and they said they were just going overnight.
Yeah, you would think, yeah, definitely, because they did do that. That's true. They signed in at the ranger station, told them where they were going and how long they wanted to be there. So I would imagine that the rangers had been looking for them this whole time. So I don't know how they got themselves that lost that even the rangers can't find them, but they did. So after about 3 or 4 days, they started to get really desperate and really dehydrated. These are some of the things they did to stave off dehydration. They licked rocks. Mm-hmm. They ate cactus fruit that they could find. And they even tried to drink their own urine.
Can do it once.
Yes. That's what that's my little side note here, is that I heard from Bear Grylls that you should only drink your urine immediately after you get lost while you're still hydrated. Because once you're dehydrated, it's no longer a viable option. It just makes you more dehydrated to drink your gross dehydrated pee.
Yeah.
So the salt content in your pee, it gets worse and worse the more dehydrated you get. Yes. That's why when you're dehydrated, your pee looks extra yellow, because it's got all the toxins in there. So when Rafi said that when he tried to drink his own pee and he was already dehydrated, it was too gross and he didn't end up drinking his own pee. But David, I guess, did. David Coughlin, mm-hmm. his friend.
Okay.
Now, on the third night, David started vomiting violently.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happened all night, according to Rafi. He was over there just puking his guts out.
He must have ate something bad.
Yeah. And according to Healthline.com, if you're extremely dehydrated, like severe dehydration, mm-hmm. that can cause vomiting. But dehydration, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Dehydration can cause low blood pressure, which can lead to nausea. Mm-hmm. But really, I don't think at this point David and Rafi are at that severe stage of dehydration yet. But I don't know. I wasn't there.
How many days in are they at this point?
This is night 3.
Okay.
So as you can imagine, vomiting only made a situation worse because it would make him more dehydrated. According to Rafi, David vomited for hours on end and was completely miserable and in pain. After a long night of vomiting at around 5 or 6 a.m., Rafi claims that his friend, his best friend in the world, who had been up all night vomiting and just writhing in pain, turned to him and begged Rafi to kill him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It escalated to 10 at that point.
Oh, no.
And Rafi and David, maybe because of their foggy brains from dehydration, maybe because they lost hope of finding the pathway to get out or to be found by rangers, they were under the impression at this point And we know this from journal entries, that no one would find them in time and that they were going to die very painful deaths left out on their own.
So they wrote this in their own journals?
Yeah, like at the time when they were down there camping, I guess they were also writing in their journals.
Yeah.
This is before Twitter, I guess.
Well, a lot of people still do trail journaling where you write down for your own personal
remembrance.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. That makes sense, especially if it's like something you want to be doing all the time. You want to write down your impressions of the area. That's mm-hmm. cool. I didn't think about that. Oh, cool. Yeah, so they did have, we have a little bit of journal entries from Raffi and David at this time. So the two, Raffi and David, entered into a murder-suicide pact.
Oh, crap.
And this is morning four. So fourth day, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., they both wrote out farewell messages to their families in their journals, thinking that they would both be dead.
Oh, that's very sad.
Raffi, who was slightly better off than David because he hadn't been up all night puking, he was supposed to be the one to kill David with his pocket knife.
Ugh.
And then use that same knife to kill himself and slit his wrists. Now, trying to help ease his friend's pain, Raffi decided to stab him in the chest, in his heart. And he had to do it twice because the first time, I guess, didn't kill him fast enough.
How big was the knife?
Just a little pocket knife. Just one of those that you can open and close, like a Swiss Army knife kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So not big, not very big, and probably not super sharp. Like, I don't know. If it's a brand new one, maybe super sharp. I don't know. But anyway, afterwards, after he killed his friend David, Raffi says that he turned the knife on himself. Same knife. I don't know if he even cleaned it off, but he said that when he tried to cut his own wrists and kill himself, it wasn't sharp enough.
Okay.
Yeah, strange.
I have thoughts, but I'll discuss later.
Mm-hmm. Or like, I guess another thing he kind of said was like, it wasn't sharp enough and I wasn't strong enough to, you know, press harder.
Okay.
It's like, well, you found that strength to stab your friend in the chest twice right before that. Maybe that exhausted him. I don't know.
Not only does his physical strength come into play here, like whether or not he had the strength, but also the mental capacity to do it. Maybe he used all of his mental strength to mercy kill his friend, but when it came to himself, he just couldn't do it.
That's very possible. Very possible. I'm sure that, you know, that plus being very dehydrated and scared and not knowing what's going to happen. I'm sure a lot of this plays into the situation. So dehydrated, he's miserable after killing his friend. Raffi buried David's body under several large rocks. And then he went and laid down in his tent waiting to die himself.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, that sounds really weird to say.
It does?
Yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, if you can't bring yourself to physically, like, cut your own wrist, I guess laying just waiting to expire is the next best thing.
Right.
That sounds really bad.
It does sound really bad. It just, but that in that situation, if you think there's no other way out and that you're definitely just going to die and there's nothing you can do, I guess he figured, why not just lay down and let it happen? I don't know. Yeah. This is August 8th. At this point, and Kodikian wrote in his journal before, you know, anything else happened while he was sitting and waiting to die. He said, I killed and buried my best friend today. Dave had been in pain all night. At around 5 or 6, he turned to me and begged that I put my knife through his chest. I did, and a second time when he wouldn't die.
Jeez.
End quote.
Wow.
Woo! But Raffi didn't die. And do you know why?
I don't know why.
Only a few hours later, the same day, the park ranger of, you know, one of the park rangers in the national park named Lance Mattson, he found Raffi. They were looking for him, like you mentioned before, because they definitely want to do that. They don't want people just, like, getting lost or, you know, I'm sure they don't want people saying that they're only going to spend one night and then trying to disappear into the national parks.
Mm-hmm. It's just bad for business.
Bad for business. Yeah. Yeah. So they were out looking for them and it took them 4 days to find the boys, and they found them and they knew that there were supposed to be two of them. So Lance, when he saw Raffi in his tent, he said, where's your friend?
Oh, shit.
And he said, wow, Raffi looked like shit. That's another thing that he noticed. Raffi pointed to the large pile of rocks near the campsite and said, I killed him.
Maybe not the best first answer, Raffi. just a thought. Maybe saying, you know, he succumbed to dehydration and he was sick.
Yeah. Like maybe a little more context.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's dehydrated. He's not thinking clearly. And that's just, maybe he's feeling really bad about it. I don't know. But that's what he said. So he got found. He's okay. He got sent to the hospital. And at the hospital, they determined that Raffi was not severely dehydrated. He was definitely dehydrated, but it wasn't to the point where he would be dead within hours or anything like that.
Okay.
Now comes the trial, because of course he has to go on trial after admitting to killing his friend out in the desert.
Yeah, it happens. It happens time to time.
It sure did to Raffi. Raffi and Dave. So this is what Raffi has to say for himself. He said he and David had been, this isn't a quote or anything, but he and David had been under the impression that they were definitely goners, that there was no chance of being saved. And they'd convinced each other and themselves of that. So when Raffi killed his friend, he thought he was going to die too. He said he never thought he'd be facing murder charges later.
Yeah, I think.
Right. He was like, well, I'm going to die too soon, so sure, you know. But he did. He faced murder charges. The prosecution argued several interesting points. They said, one, if Raffi was severely dehydrated, so much so that he didn't have the energy to kill himself, how was it possible then for him to lift these large rocks to put on top of his friend as a makeshift grave?
Good point. Valid point.
It's something, yeah, I didn't think of. And some of the rocks, when they lifted him off to get the body out, they were 70 plus pounds.
Dang, Raffi, you found the strength.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta get my friend buried under these big ass rocks. I mean, I don't know. That wouldn't be my first thought if I killed my best friend.
I hope not.
Now, second point. They tested the pocket knife that Raffi claimed wasn't sharp enough to cut his wrists, at least not to a lethal point, according to Raffi. Well, it turned out it was. It was very sharp. It should have been able to cut his wrist. So that doesn't really line up with his story. Another point. Now, this one was kind of not a really good point, but they figured that maybe the two of them had had an argument. It can't be substantiated because we don't have David to ask, and the only person we have is Raffi. Mm-hmm. But they assumed maybe David had said to Raffi as they were, you know, getting sicker and sicker and thinking that the end was near, maybe he made some sort of last minute confession of like, I slept with your girlfriend, or, you know,
yeah,
to try to get something off his chest. The prosecution thought maybe something like that was going on. And the sheriff of the area had even made some inquiries into their lives together. So he sent people up to Boston to talk to all their friends and family members to be like, did they ever have an argument before? Did they ever get into a fight? According to all their friends and family, no one had ever heard of them saying a bad word about each other before this. So that's not a very good point for the prosecution. That's more for the defense, but yeah, it was a theory. Mm-hmm. It was a theory, definitely. Now, when found by park rangers, Raffi was in his tent. He was only wearing a pair of shorts. And the park ranger that found him said he was actually quite coherent.
I wonder if he, like, snapped, too, because there's someone new there. You know what I mean?
Could be. Yeah, he could have been like, oh, shit. Somebody's here. Like, maybe his brain turned on again. I don't know. I've never been severely dehydrated, you know?
Same.
Yeah, so that's another point the prosecution made. And then there's the autopsy. So when they did an autopsy on David, it showed that he was not severely dehydrated. And that's not what caused him to vomit. The reason he had been vomiting was likely, most likely due to the cactus fruit that he'd been eating.
Oh, not the bad hot dogs?
Yeah, nope. I guess those hot dogs were just fine. Yeah. So, yeah, it was the cactus fruit, I guess. And maybe David had eaten one that Raffi hadn't eaten. I don't know. Now, that's just another theory. They don't actually know why David had been throwing up that whole time. And as for being quote-unquote lost, the rangers claim that there are two trail markers easily visible from where Raffi had claimed they'd been looking for the trail. According to the rangers, they didn't understand why two healthy young men who weren't dehydrated yet couldn't find the trail right away.
Now, do you know if they moved around, like, while they were searching for the trail? Do they, like, take their campsite with them and, yes, like, go to different locations and then finally stayed at one to, you know, die?
Yeah, they did move around. They did search in different areas trying to find. Apparently, they even climbed up onto a ridge, mm-hmm, in the canyon to see if they could get out from there. And according to Rafi, he said they couldn't figure it out. But according to the rangers who heard that, they said if they actually went up on that ridge, they, mm-hmm, should have easily seen where they were meant to go.
Hmm.
So it's one word against the other. I mean, if these two boys are starting to panic and get dehydrated, I could see them not being able to see these markers. And when they climb up on the ridge and dehydrate themselves further, mm-hmm, I mean, you know, I've made some stupid mistakes like that. But according to Rafi, they weren't able to find the trail that same morning when they weren't dehydrated yet. So I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Now that's what the prosecution had to say. Let's get into the defense. It's pretty simple. The defense said that these two guys were sick. They were dehydrated. They weren't thinking clearly. They didn't have a lot of experience hiking and camping, particularly not in the desert. They also said that Rafi and David were very good friends. They were best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that Rafi's remorse for what he'd done to his best friend was genuine.
Okay.
They talked to David's family. David's family didn't come for the trial. They sent a note. They didn't want to come. But the note said this: "We can think of no reason why Rafi would have wished David any harm or pain," the statement said. "Moreover, we cannot presume to know what transpired or the thoughts and emotions the two experienced during the days before David's death. To be sure, we have questions." I got some questions too.
How come you didn't show up to ask them? Like, you could have been a part of this, unless they were and they just had, like, the prosecution asking the questions.
Apparently they weren't there. No, they sent this ahead. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have time to get out there. I'm not sure.
I would think for your son's, like, murder trial, you could make an effort. But then again, it could be like you just don't want to deal with it because you're just tired.
Yeah, it might have been a painful situation. Maybe they weren't invited to come into the courtroom because it was just like preliminary. I don't know. But to finish it out, they said, "However, we find it difficult to believe there was any malicious intent."
Okay.
So that's David's family. David's family believed that there was no way Rafi would kill David without a really good reason.
Right.
So Rafi pleaded no contest, mm-hmm, to a second degree murder charge. He maintained that it was an act of mercy and that he thought he was doing the right thing at the time. He said he missed his friend very much and wished things had happened differently. And the judge said he believed that Rafi was genuinely remorseful, but should still serve prison time for what happened. Rafi could have been sentenced to up to 20 years, but because the judge believed that Rafi was remorseful, he reduced the sentence to 2 years with a 5-year probation to follow.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know why in my head when you said like up to 20 years, I'm like, okay, he probably got like less than 5. And you're like, 2 years. Yeah. I was like, okay, that seems about right. And from other things I've heard.
Dang, you've got some good true crime intuition there. Yeah. So yeah, he got a very reduced sentence. And when he actually did go to prison, he only ended up serving about 16 months, mm-hmm, and was released in November 2001.
Wow.
Now, what's Rafi up to now? Well, I couldn't really figure it out. And I'm sure that's, you know, of his own choosing. I'm sure he doesn't want to be in the media.
No.
But there was, I was still extremely curious. So I did a very in-depth search for Rafi. I found, and I say in-depth, all you have to do is type in Rafi Kodikian today. And some of the first things that pop up are for a Rafi Kodikian who is an insurance broker, and he has a similar face shape to the young Rafi, so I think that's kind of him, and that's an unusual enough name that I don't think there's too many of those running around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it might be him, but that's Rafi today. He's an insurance broker, he's got his own little business going, and he served his time for his mercy killing.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot that we don't know. It's all from Raffi Kotikian's point of view, and also he was very dehydrated at the time, so he might not even have a coherent story to tell, because I don't know. I would assume your memory's not even that great of that time period, you know?
When I get hangry and dehydrated and thirsty, I'm just like, I'm a totally different person and things are not clear.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see going days without, you know, water.
Yeah. No real food anymore, no water, eating weird things, licking rocks. They might have been tripping balls and they didn't even know it.
Tripping balls, licking rocks. As long as they weren't licking balls and tripping rocks.
I was just taking a drink of wine when you said that, and I almost spit it out on my microphone.
Don't do that. It's a new mic. It's a new mic.
It's okay. I do have a screen protector in front of the mic. Hopefully it wouldn't have got on there.
It's
on
a
the
spray
mic
guard.
It's spray guard. Yeah. I'm going to need it if you're telling jokes like that. But yeah, that's what we got. So Lisa, what do you think? Is he genuine? Do you think he, for some reason, wanted to kill his friend and fabricated this whole thing?
There's a couple things, I think. Number one, not being able to find the trail again. I think I will chalk that up to them just not being smart people and being as resourceful as, you know, they could have been.
It's true. Yeah, if this was their first real hiking and camping trip, maybe they just didn't know where to look.
Right. Who knows on that score? With them being dehydrated but not so severely, it doesn't mean it's not going to fuck with your mind, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So were they able to test if David, when he was vomiting, I know we don't know what caused the vomiting, but were they able to, like, see stomach contents? Do you know?
I believe that, for one thing, when they found Raffi and David, I do believe that they found where David had been vomiting. So it was for... That's one thing I didn't mention. I should have mentioned that they did prove that David had been vomiting a lot. So that's one. Yeah, that wasn't made up by Raffi. Two, they tested the stomach contents, and that's where they came up with the theory that the cactus fruit had caused the vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, you know, they couldn't prove it for sure.
Right. I guess that's all I really have, other than I think it probably was a mercy killing with, you know, brain scramblies involved, so the dehydration. But yeah, I don't see any other reason for him to kill his friend. And then on top of that, be close enough in proximity to the body, like waiting to die. He didn't move. He didn't try to, like, hide what he had done. He didn't say, oh, my friend just, like, wandered off and here I am. You can take me. And, no, he, and then he also pled no contest. He didn't plead not guilty. He didn't say it was in a self-defense way. Like, it, to me, honestly, it does kind of seem, from what you've told me, like it was just a mercy killing.
I agree with you. From what little information we have about what happened between David and Raffi in those 4 days and all of it coming from Raffi, I do believe that you're right because of what you said. He stuck around. Now, when I heard of this case, it was presented as a, and I forgot what podcast it was on. I'm sorry. I should have written that part down. They only mentioned it briefly, and they were talking about, quote unquote, madness of two. So it's like when two people who know each other really well get into a situation where, you know, like in this situation, let's just concentrate on that. Raffi and David, they were isolated. They didn't know how to get out of this canyon. They convinced themselves and each other that they weren't going to get rescued. You know, the logic went out the window.
So it's like a shared delusion.
Yeah, like... A shared delusion, exactly. So they believed it very wholeheartedly, and Raffi was apparently extremely surprised to see a ranger show up. So it's like, I think that's true. I think that's exactly what happened, and I'm sure Raffi, the rest of his life, is going to be like, ugh, I just wish we had, you know, someone had said, yeah, you know what, we'll probably be rescued. Let's just wait around, you know? But yeah, it's a strange case. It is definitely a strange case, and... It was easily avoidable with just a little bit of research and how to prepare for a camping trip.
So if y'all are going to do this, just, you know, get some basic skills ready. You know, couldn't hurt. Bring extra water.
Bring a lot of water. Bring more water than you think you'll need.
I did a hike a couple years ago, and I didn't realize it was going to be as strenuous as it was. It's considered like a moderate level hike. And I just had like a regular water bottle that you know, just... Ozark 8 ounce mm-hmm. or 12 ounce bottle. And I was like, one bottle should be fine. But I think it was between both me and my husband. And by the time we got to the top, I'm like, I just want to chug this whole thing, but I know we're going to need it for the way down.
We've got to ration this water.
Yeah, did not prepare for that. So I totally understand going into something, not realizing that you're going to need way more water.
Yeah, yeah, no, that I agree. That totally happens. And I think the comedic part, if we can say there's a comedic part to somebody going crazy and dying, uh-huh. is that they used the rest of their water to boil hot dogs the first night.
I mean, weren't you going to be thirsty in the morning, guys? Like, that's my only thought.
If you think about it, and I've done this before, I'm definitely guilty of it, of thinking like, okay, I went to the Grand Canyon with my family during college. We hiked, me, my brother, and my cousin hiked all the way down one trail. And it's like, this is great. I'm having a good time. I'm good. I'm not in great shape, but this is fine. And then you get to the bottom and you're like, cool, now let's go back up. That's the hard part.
Yes, yes, it is.
So they probably weren't thinking very clearly about that either. It's like hiking up in the desert in August is a lot harder than hiking down.
Yes, ma'am.
So they should have not used the rest of their water for their hot dogs. They should have brought more water. They didn't, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so hopefully this is a cautionary tale for the rest of us. And I'm also just going to hope that Rafi is being honest, that he didn't want to kill his friend, but he did it out of mercy.
I definitely agree. I certainly hope.
Yeah, that's all we can do at this point. Well, that's our episode for today. We love you guys. Thanks for listening, dolls. If you guys and dolls, oh my God, I didn't do that on purpose, but I like it. And if you want to see what Near Death Dolls is up to, follow us on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast. Tweet us on the Twitter at Near Death Dolls. And if you have a weird, spooky personal story to add to our listener stories episodes, please type it up and email it to us at neardeathdolls@gmail.com. Put listener stories or dear dolls in the subject line. And be sure to tell us if you'd rather be anonymous or not in that storytelling.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are very respectful. We promise.
We try to be.
We try. At least to you guys. Not sure how we always manage to... Never mind. Anyways, if you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can also help by taking a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to and sharing it on Instagram or Twitter, and be sure to tag us. If you feel like joining in on the craziness, come over to the Dark Dolly side and join our Patreon for some bomb-ass extras, like our exclusive conversation show, Dolls After Dark, where things can get a little weird, but in a way that'll tickle you. You know, a little tickle, I hope so. Tickle. You like to be tickled? Oh, Dolly dearest, remember to be good human beings. Be nice to your friends. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great night.
Drink your hot dog water. You may need it.
Oh my God, I bet that tastes so gross, hot dog water.
I bet your pee tastes really gross after hot dog water, because hot dog water already kind of tastes like pee.
Ugh. Oh my God, and that's all they had. No wonder they were ready to go.
Blech. Gross. That's all I got. A special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.